Thank you very much. We'll call this meeting of the Ethics Commission to order. I will start by taking roll. Commissioner Harriman.
Present.
Commissioner Hansen.
Present.
Commissioner Ward.
Here.
Commissioner Herr.
Here.
Excellent. Thank you very much, and we appreciate the commissioners scheduling this, making time for this special meeting so that we can attend to this urgent piece of business. Because it's a special meeting, we will dive right into the topic at hand related to the issue whether the proposed ballot measure will have a material effect on sheriff department employees. Mr. St. Croix, would you like to set the stage and tell us procedurally what we need to do tonight, and then I'll ask the commissioners if they have comments or questions
okay.
on the memo before us.
The commission needs to make a decision based on Charter Section 13.104.5 about whether the uniformed employees in the sheriff's office have a material financial interest in Proposition B such that it would affect significantly their duty of loyalty to the city in providing security for the ballots. Obviously, from the memo that we've sent ahead of time, we've identified three specific precedents where the commission has found that there is not a, a significant material financial employment. We've set forth some court cases that follow this and a section of the PRA. So the staff has made a recommendation accordingly. Commission needs to make a decision based on the criteria of what you would consider material financial impact. The fact that this would perhaps be somewhat chaotic for the city and certainly cost the city perhaps a good deal of money is important to point out, but not enter into the actual decision you make. So we have Sheriff Hennessy is here. Representing, of course, his office. John Arntz is here, the director of the elections. They can answer questions that you might have. I might suggest allowing them to make any remarks that they might have. If they have them, they may not. And then proceeding with the debate, the commission, okay. and then a motion from there. And there will be public comment after such a time as a motion has been made by the commission.
Excellent. I agree. That's a good process, and I'd be happy to hear from the Department of Elections and the Sheriff's Office. Would either of you like to make comments for us, to us before we discuss the recommendation?
Well, good evening. I'm John Ernst. I'm the Director of Elections here in San Francisco. First of all, I want to thank John for and the commissioners for organizing the meeting tonight to answer this question since it came up. Just recently, and the response has been very appropriate for us as we plan for the election. I don't have anything prepared for tonight. I'm here basically to provide any kind of information you might need on the role of the sheriff's deputies as far as the department is concerned on election night. But the department does work closely with the sheriff's office and with the deputies, not just on election day, but also before and after election day. We meet with the sheriff's office and plan the security for the ballots and also the security for the election long before election day, and we've already met, which is our standard process. Then on election day, the sheriff's office would maintain the command of the deputies, but we do work closely with the sheriff's office and any issues that might come up that are election related, election specific on election night, and then we would collaborate with the command of the sheriff's office to have the deputies assist the department. And then after election day, the deputies are in charge of security of the voted ballots. And again, it's not just the deputies who are organizing this. They work closely with the department. So it's a collaborative effort on both the department's behalf and also the sheriff's office. And I can answer any questions you might have on those processes if you like.
Okay. I'll ask the commissioners if they have any questions for you now. We may discover that we have questions after we get into it as well. But
certainly.
Do any commissioners have any questions at this point? Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Arntz, for being here. I'm sorry I didn't see you when I came in.
Oh, that's fine.
I have a question in terms of the potential cost and feasibility of an alternative plan. Have you done any research to determine what an alternative plan might look like and what the cost might be?
We haven't done it specifically for this election. We haven't had time yet, really, to work on this election. Previously, when this issue has come up, we did contemplate how we would replace, essentially, the deputies in the elections process. And we actually went as far as contacting the National Guard to see if they could come in to provide the security for the ballots and also for the vote, essentially, for the election. And we can't use federal officers because there's a prohibition on the Constitution to use federal police or federal National Guard. So the police department can't supply the personnel for us either. And so the final stopping point for us in our planning several years ago was to obtain the services of private security companies. And what we realized is one company could not provide sufficient personnel to cover the security for the election. It would have been two, three, or four different companies for us to organize and to provide officers, security officers, to pick up the ballots and also to provide security after the election. The cost at the time, it was several hundred thousand dollars. And I think it was even close to $1 million to obtain the services of private security companies. But that was several years ago. I don't know what it'd be for this election. But just the scope of the planning to bring in these other organizations at the election would have been very challenging.
And if I might, just one more question. I know that sometimes when we have a conflict, we go to Oakland, for example. I wonder if you have any arrangement with other cities where you might, not that they wouldn't be busy on election night as well, but just curious if any kind of relationship exists between San Francisco and other cities where we might utilize their personnel or they might utilize ours in a similar situation.
Not on the security side. We do when it comes to voting equipment, materials and supplies and things like that. Yeah, we work closely with other departments of elections, not just in the Bay Area, but throughout the state. But San Francisco is unique in that its charter requires the sheriff's office to provide security for the election. So, we don't have a relationship with other counties to provide similar services with their sheriff departments.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have a question. Mr. Arntz, thanks again for coming. Can you describe in a little more detail what specifically the deputies do to secure the ballots on election night or thereafter?
On election night, the deputies are charged with actually picking up the ballots at the polling places. And so there's about 110 deputies that work with the Department on election night. And the deputies will travel to the polling sites that we have throughout the city in vehicles that the department provides to the deputies. And we prearrange the routes these deputies will take to specific precincts. And then we have our own, what we call an election center here in City Hall in the cafeteria. And the sheriff's office will have its personnel in the election centers with us. So if we get a call from a polling place, from poll workers, even from the public, regarding a specific polling site on election night towards the close of the polls, we could communicate with the sheriff's office, who can communicate with the deputies to attend. Maybe the poll workers are struggling. They're not closing the polling place quick enough. Maybe they're already done and they're waiting for a pickup. So we can start to organize the retrieval of the ballots. And that's critical because prior to the deputies working with the Department of Elections, we used to have what was called transfer sites in San Francisco. And City Hall was a transfer site. And they were places where poll workers brought ballots from the polling places to these transfer sites. And it was an inconsistent success story with each transfer site throughout the city. And quite often after election night, the department would be trying to locate and discover where ballots had been taken from the polling places. Now, with the sheriff's deputies, it's a very tight process. We're able to retrieve the ballots every precinct. We're able to retrieve the ballots almost every election. And then the the deputies transport those ballots from the polling places to our warehouse, which is on Pier 48 down by the ballpark. And we're able, and we have ballot custody forms, so we're able to track the path of the ballots from the essentially from our office in City Hall to the polling place and to Pier 48. First, with the poll workers taking the ballots from City Hall to the polling place, and then with the deputies picking the ballots up and taking them to the warehouse. So we're able to account for the ballots at almost every step of the elections process. And that's important because in San Francisco, we're a paper-based ballot county. And so the vote is recorded on these ballots. And if there were anything wrong with the electronic memory devices that are on the machines, we always have these ballots as a backup to bring them back to City Hall and count to get official results for the election. Then after Election Day, the sheriff's deputies are charged with always being with the ballots until the certification of the election. So while we're counting ballots in City Hall, we have sheriff's deputies who will actually come through our offices and observe the process and also be around if we have any issues at all regarding the count or with observers and things like that. Then at Pier 48, the deputies are on hand during what's called the canvas, and that's where we make an accounting of all the materials, including the ballots that came back to our office essentially from the polling places. And so until we certify the election, the ballots are always under observation by the sheriff's deputies, and the certification of the election takes about 30 days. And so these deputies are with the ballots for about a month after the election. And the reason this came into being was prior to the passage of the charter amendment that mandated that the sheriffs provide security for the election. There's a lot of concern in the public and how the department itself is handling the ballots and if they were actually being responsible with the votes around those ballots. So having the deputies assist with the security, actually overseeing the security, has really tightened the process for us in retrieving the ballots and also tightened the process as far as the public trust is concerned in safeguarding the counts on those ballots.
Thank you.
I would remind us that the question that will be before us is whether the issues on the ballot have a material financial effect on employees of the Sheriff's Department. And certainly understanding the process is interesting, and I think the public would find helpful. Does anyone, and I'll just mention after we hear any comments that the Sheriff's Office would like to make, I'll ask whether the City Attorney, Ms. Lee, has anything that she wants to focus our attention on, and then we'll take questions and see if there's a motion. So is there anything you'd like to add or any other commissioner questions? No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your being here. Sheriff Hennessy, thank you.
Good evening, Commissioners. Mike Hennessy, Sheriff. I raise this issue because the charter does indicate that if there's a possible financial or conflict of interest that this body must make a ruling on it. And I do not personally think there will be any type of conflict. We've done security of the ballot for the last several years, and our staff is well trained on how to do it. I think they've done a very good job. As John Arntz explained, there's a lot of work, particularly on Election Day, but then a continued security work for the next month or so afterwards as the election results are completed. I will say that because of Proposition B having a potential financial impact on all city employees, that's why this issue was raised. But I will assure the commission that just so that there is an extra level of concern about this, in our briefing of all the deputy sheriffs who work on this, we will make sure that they are aware of the sensitivity here, that they not make any type of comments to any voters or any election workers about their feelings about this issue or any other issue on the ballot. We have a very well-disciplined staff, I'm quite sure that there will not be any type of implication of interference with the vote.
Commissioners? Any questions for the sheriff? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Lee?
Thank you, Commissioner Studley. I I guess my only real comment is to say that the city attorney's office agrees with the recommendations of the staff in the memo that was provided to the commission. Also, I don't know if the commission was provided with the legal text for Proposition B, but I do have copies of that available, and if the commission has any questions about the measure, I'd be happy to address those.
Okay. Anyone have any questions along those lines? Why don't we then directly address the recommendation that's before us, and I'd be interested in the commissioner's either questions about the recommendation or the standard or discussion here, or your views on the recommendation at this time. Either of you?
Well, I'm happy to start. I actually, I agree with the staff. I don't think this is a slam dunk issue. There is some, it's something to think about, but at once I thought about it, I wasn't at all sure that there was a material financial effect. There's certainly a financial effect. But it didn't strike me as material, and I found the point that it's not it's not just the Sheriff's Department or employees of the Sheriff's Department, it's all city employees. That to me sort of lessened whatever type of materiality there would be. So I agree with the staff's recommendation.
Other commissioners?
I am less persuaded on the materiality point. I think that that is a close call, but I also agree with the staff on the basis that this provision would not make much sense unless it was meant to be directed to something that would have a material financial effect solely on the sheriff and the sheriff's department. Otherwise, the breadth of this would potentially be pretty damaging to the city, and I do not think what it was the intent.
You want
to? I'd just be parroting the same thing.
Okay.
My read of this section is that it does not quantify the impact other than it being material, and that it does not need to specify. It does not specify that there be a unique impact on the party. So my reading of the section is that there would actually be a material financial impact. It certainly affects all city employees. There's quite a great deal of controversy about the issue. It does affect the sheriff's department. So in my view, there is an impact. I think that there's no question that it's difficult to come up with an alternative plan, and that without knowing precisely how much it would cost, I have no doubt that it would be very costly. I have no mistrust of the sheriff's department staff, and I appreciate the comment by Sheriff Hennessy in terms of training of the staff and making sure that there is a sensitivity to the complexity of the issue and the controversy of the issue. I would be more comfortable saying that while we do believe that there is a material financial impact, we are not persuaded that an alternative system is needed. And maybe this is a question for the city attorney's office, I'd like to hear if there's something in the section that I'm not seeing, and I don't have the language in front of me, that specifies that this needs to have a unique impact to this particular department.
There is nothing in the charter that specifies that. That reasoning comes from the Lexan case that was described in staff's memo.
Right. And in the Proposition C in November 2006 case, where we did find that there was a financial impact, that had to do with the specificity of the sheriff's salary being impacted. So is that where the unique focus comes from in your analysis?
Proposition C was different in, I guess, two respects. One is that it specifically impacted the sheriff's salary. Mm-hmm. And also in that case, the determination didn't lead to walling off sheriff's deputies entirely. It was only the sheriff himself as head of the office who was walled off from providing security.
So there was an easier fix, if you will.
Right. But going to your earlier point, unfortunately, the charter provision doesn't provide much flexibility here. So the language is pretty clear that if the commission does find there is material financial effect, that that triggers this requirement to have an alternative transportation plan.
I was afraid of that.
Thank you very much. You anticipated my question. I think our job is very clear. It's a yes-no question on whether the measure would have a material financial effect. Thereafter, it's up to the Department of Elections to determine how to handle that preclusion. Commissioner Hurd, did you have any comment or question at this point? In addition, to me, the fact that the effect is uncertain, so it may have a material effect on employees or some employees, but even that, and if it does have an effect, it may be material, but it's uncertain whether it will, based on a variety of analyses that have to be done, that it is general, both weigh in to my supporting the recommendation. In addition, it seems to me that in a close call, the provision that the voters intended was that they wanted the sheriff's office to do it unless we found that condition to obtain, that it was an affirmative desire for the sheriff's office to do it unless we make that finding. So if I thought it were on a knife edge, that would be the presumption that I would apply. For me, because it's uncertain, I don't think that's the case. Do any of the commissioners have other points that you want to make or any questions for the others? If not, I would appreciate a motion so that we can hear from the public.
I do. I have a question for the other commissioners. So is the view here that the materiality relates to the effect on each individual member of the department or on the department as a whole? In other words, this would have a pretty small impact potentially on each individual per member.
Yeah.
But as a whole, the effect could be quite large. I mean,
I'll let others answer first.
From the way that I've analyzed this, that question doesn't matter. Because I just think based on what the chair just said, there's so many uncertainties here. We don't know if there is going to be a material effect. And it will be on certain individuals. Whether that adds up to the whole or a lot of the whole, given the uncertainties, I just don't think it's enough to find that there is material financial effect as Prop B requires.
I think that the staff determination is based on the impact on the individuals, because the sheriff's office isn't impacting them or their budget at all. It's the health care contributions of the individual uniformed officers. The pension reforms don't apply to them.
And also the implication is that these individuals shouldn't be around these ballots if it has a material effect. The individuals shouldn't be guarding ballots.
By that token, that would have an impact to me on the level of materiality, because Commissioner Harriman, I guess I disagree that it's an irrelevant question because it's a boot and suspenders type argument.
It's relevant to your way of thinking,
sure.
So it's not an irrelevant question. It's just to my way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Question's relevant depending on how you approach it.
Sure, but I do think it is relevant to materiality because, the effect that was suggested in this health service memo we got suggests that for the individual it's certainly a much closer call.
If I could follow up on Commissioner Hurst's comments, I too would like to hear from other commissioners with regard to the materiality question, because it certainly seems to me that if an individual's salary is affected, which it would be, because they would need to pay more into their health insurance, then how is that not material?
So, but what the analysis and the recommendation says is that there's a very wide spread between how it would impact an individual's salary. And what the chair has just said is that it's uncertain in terms of the materiality. And so that's my way of thinking. Unless you can determine that it's on the higher end of the range in terms of effect, it could be on the lower end of the range, which wouldn't be very material. So you can't determine, you can't say that it is going to have a material effect. It's uncertain.
So what is our standard for materiality? Excuse me, go ahead.
Yeah.
You have an answer?
Well, within the language of the charter is, A, has some effect on the employee's finances, and B, the effect is significant enough that it could interfere with the employee's duty of loyalty to the city in providing security for the ballots. Yeah. So your decision is this material effect? Yes, it meets A. Does it meet B? Is this enough that it's going to affect their performance in carrying out their duties? And so this is a crystal ball question that you guys have to answer. How significant is this? And these rates in the health insurance memo are meant for guidance. They're not certain because none of this has been negotiated yet. Okay, and it also depends on what you make and so on. So you are trying to decide, is this enough to essentially corrupt the uniformed people in the sheriff's office? And
yes.
Staff's purpose in providing you these precedents and these court cases is to say the courts and the Ethics Commission itself prior to this have determined in similar situations, no, that just doesn't meet the case. And certainly there's language in the PRA that says if a wide group of people are impacted in these kind of decision making, then the presumption is that there isn't a conflict of interest. Because so many, you're talking about excess of 20,000 people being impacted by this, and this is a smallish group within that wider. That's why elected officials are allowed to vote on things that may impact them personally if it also impacts the community writ large. Because there's a duty involved. And as was brought up before, the voters prior to the tenure of the current director of elections had grave reasons to be concerned about ballot security and created this to solve that problem.
I think that was an excellent explanation and pulled together a lot of the pieces, Mr. St. Croix. My answer to the question is it's uncertain whether this will have this effect because it depends on comparison to other jurisdictions. So what the possible change varies. The level of change varies from a small sum per month to a larger sum per month. It is, if I understand this correctly, avoidable. Employees can change health plans, so they can each determine whether they bear the brunt of the highest dollar effect or not later on. And it's subject to other kinds of negotiation that may happen. So we really don't know. And no one person can say, this will cost me X. My answer to materiality, just personally, is material enough to override the sworn responsibility of an officer of the law. And so that makes material, it's hard to put a dollar to it, but on the higher end, given the expectations of what they do all the time and all the other things that they handle. Voters didn't give us a bright line for what's material, so we have to, kind of take that. Just a final point, the staff of the Board of Election are also, as the memo pointed out, going potentially affected in the same uncertain, speculative way as the sheriff's office employees, and they would continue to, there's not a comparable provision that says that they can't participate in the steps that the director described in which they have a part in the security from beginning to end of the process. Commissioner Herr?
I see the point about the speculative nature, and I think that does make sense. But on the materiality point, I think, like all the commissioners, trust that the Sheriff's Department is certainly going to does their job well and will do it well on election night like every other night. But for the public, from the public's perspective, I think I'd like to make clear that materiality isn't just so much so that it's going to lead them to not follow their duties. There is an appearance of impropriety issue that I mm-hmm. think is important. Yep. That so I don't think materiality necessarily needs to rise to that level. But in this circumstance, I do see the point that it is fairly speculative.
You know, we've been focusing on the words material financial effect for very good reason, because those are the content words. But in this regard, it says would have is also worth looking at. I think it's something that we're all that's where the notion of whether the speculative nature mm-hmm. matters is, that it would have a, we're almost inserting a bracketed, would definitely have or would certainly have. And I don't think we're doing violence to the provision by at least thinking about that consideration as well. Commissioners, further discussion or comment? Do I hear a motion so that we can hear if there's public comment?
I'll move that we determine that Prop B that will not have a material financial effect on either the sheriff or the department's uniformed personnel.
I'll second.
Okay, we'll take public comment. Does anybody want to address this issue?
Good evening, commissioners. It's Charlie Marsteller. For the record, I'm here speaking for myself, and I think back to my history here with Prop E 2001, when custody of the ballots was transferred essentially from the Department of Elections city employees to essentially, I think the voter's concept was an officer of the court, some official sworn officer, which is the sheriff. And I think on that basis, there's a reasonable presumption that we have the ability to trust a sheriff to do this type of custody in a fair and efficient way, according to the law. And I think that as you're acting here today, and many of you have read the legal analysis, and in fact, you are also sworn attorneys, you can also come to know that the public has set this body up independently of many other types of commissions and those processes to establish a mechanism for an objective review. And I do think that there are some layers here that are rather distinctive. And I think that the public would, in fact, have a tendency to trust their sheriff department and their commission of ethics, perhaps a little more than they might other city employees or entities. So that's the point I was thinking back when I was remembering our discussions about Prop E in 2001. I also think that Mr. St. Croix's analysis is correct, and that I would support the motion.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Sir.
Hello, my name is Brent Turner. I'm here speaking on my own behalf. And I just wanted to give something for the record, and I'll just read it into the record quickly. I find the conversation interesting, and I applaud the final decision, what I think it will be from the commission. But the underlying elements are interesting and I think should be brought before the commission at this time. It may not be directly on point, but I think an understanding of where we are and how we got here and what this is. The sheriff's department handling this matter is preferable in the mind of the election reform community to private companies, not merely for the expense issue, but for the security issue. The sheriff's department is capable of monitoring the election in conjunction with John Arntz's department, and we applaud John Arntz for his work here. The problem is we're still dealing with inappropriate voting systems in general, and I think some of the members of this commission might be familiar. But when Sequoia was to be purchased by the county, we objected, and the reasons are part and parcel to this particular issue. The lack of security is inherent to the systems themselves. It doesn't have to do with who's overseeing the security. We would prefer the sheriff to a private company, naturally, but still, the problem is that we're not dealing when John says it's a paper-based system. That's true. What we want it to be is to be a paper ballot system where the ballots are perfectly marked and counted at the precinct level previous to transportation. So under systems that have been tendered to the county, that is an available system if we take the steps. We missed the opportunity to do so last time. I hope that we use these kind of issues as an educational opportunity so that we can move toward better systems that have open source software and perfectly printed paper ballots that can be counted in public at the precinct level. Then you have a proper vote count. You don't have to worry about these ancillary issues, but we do applaud the decision you're about to make. So thank you, and I'll give this for the record. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anybody else like to make an additional comment at this time? Commissioners, are you prepared to vote? Okay. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you very much. The commission voted unanimously to accept the recommendation of the staff and in its finding that there is that this measure would not have a material financial effect under the terms of Prop B. Thank you all very much for coming. We appreciate you, your offices both being represented here to help us with this decision. And I thank the commissioners and the staff for coming for this special meeting so that we could help expedite the city's business and for your thoughtful consideration. I hear a motion to adjourn?
Yes, I'll move to adjourn.
Second. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.